Ahmad Chalabi was in Washington, D.C. on Inauguration Day 2001. He had chosen his favorite double-breasted Hermenegildo Zegna suit and a bright orange tie to celebrate opening day of the George W. Bush presidency. With his mischievous smile and aristocratic bearing, the 56-year-old Iraqi-born Chalabi made his way from one inaugural bash to the next, gliding among the crowds of Bush partygoers. A Muslim who neither smokes nor drinks, he took it all in with the eye of an exile and the soul of a schemer. What would the Bush era mean for him, he wondered. How could he make the most of it? The day after Bush's swearing-in, Chalabi took a car to Chevy Chase, Maryland, just outside the nation's capital. He was invited to a meeting at the two-story home of Richard Pearl, a leading figure in the neoconservative movement, which advocated using American military power to promote democracy abroad. Among those present, Chalabi said, were Paul Wolfowitz, Douglas J. Feith, Zalmay Khalilzad, and John P. Hanna. Within a few months, they all would hold influential positions in the new administration, with Wolfowitz and Feith landing the number 2 and number 3 positions at the Pentagon, and Pearl becoming a top advisor to Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld, Khalilzad a special assistant to Bush and ambassador at large for Iraqi exiles, and Hanna a national security advisor to Vice President Dick Cheney. But on this brisk and sunny afternoon, January 21, 2001, there were just a handful of like-minded civilians who saw the charting of U.S. foreign policy as both their dominion and their duty. Everyone came casually dressed, some in blue jeans, sweaters, and polo shirts, except for Chalabi, who, as always, chose his outfits with care. In this case, a beige sports coat with blue pinstripes, a pale blue shirt, and a wide navy tie. Casual was not his way. They gathered in a small salon near the front of Pearl's house, seated around a glass coffee table atop a red and black Turkish rug, and beneath a portrait of Arthur Rimbaud, the influential 18th-century French poet, who was as famous for his scandalous behavior as he was for his groundbreaking and revolutionary writings. "Well, we have won," Pearl beamed as he opened the meeting. "And now we have to get our policy objective adopted by the administration." That policy objective was both simple and audacious: to get Bush to back Chalabi in his long quest to overthrow Saddam Hussein. "We were sympathetic to what Ahmad was trying to accomplish," Pearl later explained matter-of-factly. "But more important, the group believed that Chalabi was the missing piece in their own strategy for engineering a post-Saddam Iraq. To them, Chalabi was a modern-day Charles de Gaulle, someone who shared our values and who could be trusted to carry U.S. national interests to the most vital of regions, the Middle East. I believed at the time that we didn't know enough about Iraq to go in there and remake the place," Pearl recounted. "We had to work with somebody, and I thought that he was the right person." So, over the next 2 hours, as they snacked on cold cuts and salad, they sketched out their agenda. Chalabi mostly listened. It was, in his estimation, a crucial meeting. "Of course, none of these people had jobs in the administration," Chalabi noted, "but it was important that they would be mobilized early to move the agenda for the liberation of Iraq. The primary objective was to get ideas through to the people who would be in a position to do things." The ideas, he said, included that Saddam was dangerous to U.S. interests in the Middle East. He was bent on revenge over losing the 1990-1991 Gulf War. Another objective was to brush up and revive the arguments that would make it in the U.S. interest to help us overthrow Saddam. By us, Chalabi meant the Iraqi National Congress, INC, the fractious umbrella group of Iraqi exiles, composed of Shiites, Sunnis, and Kurds that he led. Chalabi was under no illusion about the enormity of the INC's challenge, especially given the roster of enemies he had amassed over the years inside the U.S. foreign policy establishment, which preferred to maintain the status quo in Iraq. "I didn't know how they were going to outmaneuver the State Department," Chalabi said of his neoconservative supporters, "or how they might neutralize the Central Intelligence Agency, CIA, where senior officials detested Chalabi, viewing him as a charlatan and an opportunist. Then there was the question of Bush and where he stood on regime change. After a meeting with him in 2000, Pearl had come to believe that Bush had the temperament to finish the job his father, George H.W. Bush, had begun.